Beautiful, beautiful song. Beautiful song. Beautifully done. Well, this is Independence Day weekend, 4th of July weekend. This week, how old is America? 233 years old. Amen. Amen. Sounds like a long time, doesn't it? But in reality, it's really not, considering the life of many nations on the face of this earth today. In fact, 233 years is rather young. 233 years seems like a long time, but in comparison with the life of other nations, America is still just an infant nation. But a nation that the Lord has wonderfully blessed. A nation that the Lord has wonderfully blessed. And it is fitting that as we celebrate our nation's birth, that we celebrate God's goodness and His kindness to our nation as well. God has blessed America in so many wonderful ways. Here in America, we don't have to worry about whether the stores are going to run out of fruits and vegetables or meat items. There's enough for everybody. There's also a great variety to choose from. Some people will complain about the price of goods and services in America, but if you lived in some other countries, price wouldn't matter at all. Because in many of these countries, funds are available, but the goods and services are not. In America, for the most part, we don't have to travel a great distance to find bread or milk for our table, nor do we have to travel long distances to find fresh water to drink. God has blessed us to the point that it just pours right out of our... We turn it on and we can turn it off. There have been times, though, in Johnston County, there have been times across this state and certainly out in the Midwest when God would get people's attention about their attitude about water, you know, that they take God's blessings for granted. And one of these, and during one of the seasons, God kind of just lets holds the rain back, and people begin to appreciate the simple things of life that God has blessed us with. We have an abundance of water. God has truly blessed America. In just the sheer beauty of the land itself, the mountains, the valleys, the coast are all beautifully fashioned by the very hand of our Lord. In the vast productivity of the land, in fruitfulness and abundance, our nation is among the chief leaders in helping to feed the rest of the world. Our nation is among the chief leaders in helping to feed the rest of the world. And of course, God has blessed us in the freedom we enjoy in this land. Our political freedom and our personal freedom. But there's another freedom that we have today that our founding fathers were very much aware of, a truth that was instrumental in the building of this great nation. It is the freedom we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a freedom that can never be taken away from the believer. It's a freedom that's declared by the Holy Scriptures. It's a freedom that is declared by the Holy Spirit. And it's a freedom that is declared by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In John chapter 8, verse 32, the Lord says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Make you free." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the Sunday school program, Father. We thank you for the teachers that have come this morning and shared, and we just ask your blessing upon them. We thank you for the students, Father, that came to participate in the Sunday school program. We thank you for our Sunday school program, Father, and we would ask, Lord, that others might see the need to come and to participate with us, Father. Our sanctuary always seems to be full during the worship hour, Father, but how wonderful it would be to have that additional training, that additional teaching, that additional fellowship, Father, as our members come and participate in the Sunday school program. So we thank you for our teachers in the Sunday school program. We thank you for the choir and for Barbara doing the special and J.E. singing the choir special this morning. Father, we thank you for each one that's here present, that's taken time out to come. And I trust that they've come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, if we came for any other reason, then we came for naught. Father, I ask your blessing upon your word this morning. We thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have living in this this wonderful nation called the United States of America. And so many times, Father, we find ourselves bad-mouthing the politicians, screaming and hollering about taxes and all of those other things, Father, but yet beyond all things, Father, this nation is wonderfully, marvelously blessed. Father, help us to walk each day as Christians, Father, to walk each day showing our gratitude for the blessings of living in this nation, Father. And Lord, help us to walk in such a way as that brings honor and glory to you, that others might see the Lord Jesus Christ in us and be drawn to a relationship with you. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity this morning to share. We ask your blessing upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. The Holy Scriptures declare us free, first of all, in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 32, as I've shared with you, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the question is, how does any nation or person find truth that will set them free? Where do you find the truth that will set you free, spiritually speaking? Where does that truth come from? It comes from God's holy word. The Word of God tells us where we came from. The Word of God tells us why we're here. The Word of God tells us where we're going to. To answer the first question, we're created in the very hand of God. That's where we came from. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We were created by the very hand of God. We believe that. I don't believe I crawled out that my ancestors crawled out of the ocean. I believe that God created my ancestors by his own hand. We are here to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of our being here. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the scripture says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Your very presence here today on the face of this earth is intended to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to ask ourselves this morning, in our life, are we bringing any kind of honor and glory to the Lord Jesus? Do we live for self today, or do we live for the Lord Jesus Christ? I trust that as a Christian, you're walking in such a way to bring honor to your Heavenly Father. And so we were created by that very hand of God. We are here to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are bound for eternal life in a new world to come. And by the way, I believe every day the date of the rapture of the church draws closer and closer and closer. And I hope that you're ready for when it comes. It's going to come quickly. That time's going to come quickly. In John chapter 3, verse 16, God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In John chapter 3, verse 36, Jesus says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Let me ask you, do you believe upon the Son of God this morning? Do you believe upon the Son of God this morning? How simple and how wonderful God has made it for you to be able to one day come into his very presence. He asks you to believe upon his name. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." The truth of the Holy Scriptures inspired the pilgrims to flee religious persecution in Europe, and to seek a place in the new world where they could enjoy religious freedom. They came to America to found a nation based on biblical principles and not upon the teachings of the Church of England. Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth of the Holy Scriptures declared the pilgrims free, and they came to the new world for the very purpose of furthering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying the freedom that they knew that they had in Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Scriptures declare us free. And then the indwelling Holy Spirit also declares us free. Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, wrote this. He said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is..." Anybody know what that word is? The next word is liberty. Liberty. "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Christ came to set us free from the bondage of the law and to impart unto us the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is a spirit of peace and rest and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God brings a liberty that can be found in no other source. And so Paul tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The wonderful gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit confirms to us that we have been set free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, the Lord Jesus declares us free in Himself. In John chapter 8, verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Christ sets His people free. Let me give you a couple of examples. In John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, we find Nicodemus trapped in religious bondage. He was a Pharisee who believed that salvation came by way of keeping the law of Moses. His worship was an exterior worship. He concentrated on the flesh, on doing the things that the Ten Commandments commanded him to do, and yet he found himself falling short every day. Every one of us. It was mentioned this morning in our Sunday school lesson that Christians ought to strive to at least to keep the commandments. And even though we fail and even though we fall short in even keeping those commandments, it's wonderful to know that we, by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God lifts us up and puts us on a higher plane. So Moses, Nicodemus' worship was an exterior worship. He came by night to speak to the Lord Jesus, and Christ taught him that in order to see the kingdom of God, he must be born again from the inside. He must be born again by the Spirit of God. And so Nicodemus believed Christ and was set free from religious bondage. He was there on Calvary's Hill to help take the body of our crucified Christ down from the cross. You remember that's such a beautiful picture. When Nicodemus first came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he came by night. But then after he had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ for a brief period of time, when Christ died on Calvary's cross, Nicodemus came out of the darkness, came into the light, and helped to lower the Lord Jesus' body off of the cross. In John chapter 4, Nicodemus was one whose testimony shows that God delivers us and sets us free. In John chapter 4, verses 6 through 28, we find a woman trapped in the bondage of immorality. She had been married 5 times and now was living with a man outside of wedlock. She was trying to find happiness and contentment, security and satisfaction in man. But her life was still empty, lonely, filled with anxiety and despair. Christ's words and His fellowship set her free from her bondage. He gave her a new zeal for life and a desire to serve Him. And she began telling everyone about her experience with the Lord. It was mentioned this morning, too, in our Sunday school lesson how our teacher, Dan, had mentioned somebody was sharing with him about a friend of theirs who was going to get married, and he was talking about commitment to the woman. Are you willing to make that full commitment to this little lady? And somehow he said, well, if it doesn't work out, I can just leave that one and go find another one. Is that the way? Does that bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus? It certainly does not. Certainly does not, and it'll never bring happiness to that individual. I tell you what, marriage, happiness in marriage comes when Jesus Christ is at the center of that marriage. That's when the commitment, when folks come before this pastor and they make a commitment one to another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would trust that as they go back out, that commitment was sincere. And they were dedicated to the Lord Jesus and to one another. This woman was terribly sad and lost, and the Lord Jesus Christ came and ministered to her and lifted her up and put her on solid ground. In Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, we find a young man demon-possessed. His life was a miserable day in and day out of turmoil, of pain and suffering. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, verse 3 through 6, his dwelling was among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So here's an individual who is demon-possessed and who's just wild like an animal. Nobody could control him. And the Bible says, and always night and day, listen to this miserable condition, and always night and day, this is some mother's son, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. What a miserable life's existence. Nobody to help him, nobody to set him free. But verse 6 says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. Jesus is always ready to deliver us from any and every bondage as we call upon his name. Jesus commanded the demons to leave the young man, and it was so. And the young man went home rejoicing and telling others about how Christ had set him free. All of these, Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman at the well, and the young man bound by demons, were set free from their burdens by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he did for them, he can certainly do for you and me today. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It is a wonderful thing to celebrate the political and the personal freedom we have in living in this nation, and celebrating it on the 4th of July. Political freedom and personal freedom makes us free citizens of the United States. That's true. But spiritual freedom in Christ Jesus makes us citizens of heaven and assures us of eternal life. How free are you this morning? How free are you this morning? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Nicodemus needed rest. The woman at the well needed rest. And certainly that young man possessed by the demons needed rest. And Christ was right there for him, for all of them. What is it this morning that you might be wrestling with? What burden is so intense and so heavy that it keeps you from enjoying the peace and the freedom that you have in Christ Jesus? Jesus says, bring your burdens to me and I will give you rest. Nicodemus tried to find rest in the law, but he found only a heavy burden. The Samaritan woman tried to find rest in human relationships, but she only found heartache and pain and loneliness. The demon-possessed man tried to find rest among the tombs, but he only found more pain and more suffering. All of these and many more found rest and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. The question this morning, what is it that you're trying to find rest and peace in? What is it that you're trying to find rest and peace in? In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. One of the greatest privileges that you and I as Christians have to come is to one day sit down at the very table of the Lord Jesus Christ. Millions will be sitting at that table. And the Lord Jesus Christ will rise and he'll walk around that table and he'll feed. He'll serve each and every one of us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be our encourager. He wants to be our strength. But the thing is, the Bible says, lo, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord Jesus Christ knocks on the heart's door. He does not jerk the heart's door open. He doesn't come in forcefully. He says, listen, I'm here. I'm knocking. But you have to open the door. You have to open the door. God has richly blessed our nation. And that's wonderful. But God even more wants to richly bless each and every one of us individually. Individually. But so many times we push Him away. We just push Him away. Every day the Lord comes and every day the Lord wants to minister to you personally. And every day we just push Him away. We push Him away. We may come to we open our hearts on Sunday mornings, we may open our hearts on Sunday night, we may open our hearts on Wednesday night, but God wants us to open our hearts to Him 7 days a week. He wants to fellowship with us 7 days a week because He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the commandments. The commandments point us to the Lord Jesus. The commandments show us our failures. The commandments show us how far from holiness we are. The Lord Jesus Christ reaches out His arms and says, come unto me. If we'll only open the door of our heart to Him. The Scripture tells us that by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. God has given us eternal life as a gift. And my goodness, we ought to grab hold of that gift and run with it. Amen? It's wonderful to have political freedom. It's wonderful to have national freedom. But I can promise you this, it's even more important, and it's even more wonderful to have spiritual freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you this morning? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again this morning, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these that have come this way. Father, if there's one here this morning that's never made a personal commitment to You, Father, their heart is burdened. Lord, they know that they have a need. Father, I would ask You to allow that Holy Spirit to knock and to continue to knock, Father, upon that heart's door. Lord, that until such time as that individual will open up their heart and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, we can't make it on our own. Sometimes we think we can. Father, we think we're unworthy because we're wrapped up in so many other things. But just as the hymn says, just as I am without one plea, but that Thou blood was shed for me. Father, I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit, as it knocks upon a heart's door, that the heart will be opened and receptive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless that one that's furthest from Thee. Lord, move upon them in a powerful way. For that one that knows You as a personal Savior and may be walking a backslidden life, Lord, how terrible it is to profess to be a Christian and then walk out into the world as though you belong to the world. Father, I just ask Your blessing upon that one as well, too, and just pray that they'll repent and that they'll come back home where they belong. Father, bless Your people this morning, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, Amen.